Welcome back to the only show about video games. It's another episode of the Main Quest podcast, podcast of the year edition. And today we are revisiting a weird one. Before I get to my thoughts on the episode that aired, I have some people to thank. Some very special thanks to all the patrons of the show, who are David Palafox, Eric Guess, Zero Sam, Kayla Jackson, Chris from A Novel Console, Ryan Player One, Van Fernal, Chris Copleen, Hank Park, Probass Fisher, Poppy the Masked Keaton, Dave Jackson, and of course, Baby Boy Ashton. Thank you guys so much for being patrons of the show. I really, really appreciate all of your donations. So this week, it's Ghosts and Goblins. This is an episode that I don't personally have any attachment for. I don't hate it. I think it's actually a pretty good episode, but I don't think it's anything special. And I know I'm selling it very short here. I'm not doing a good job of promoting the episode you're about to hear. But to me, like, it's just like a standard Main Quest episode. Now, what I thought about the game is what really matters, right? And to this day, I still have like a sick fascination with this version of Ghosts and Goblins. But what makes this episode very weird, is that it is the most listened to episode of the podcast, and it continues to get regular downloads, which is great. Awesome. If these are really real people listening to this episode, hey, thank you. But also, I have roughly 150 other episodes that you can listen to, so go do that. But the fact of the matter is that I was going to exclude this from the podcast of the year edition just because of the sheer amount of downloads this episode has, because there's no way in real life these numbers are real. I would love to compare the numbers here with even some of the other podcast of the year episodes. I would love to tell you what those are, but I'm not that kind of person. I'm not going to air my laundry out here. But since the episode's air date of October 19th, 2020, it has gotten over 6,000 downloads, which is an astronomical number for me. And it is a number that continues to climb. Now, those download numbers, the downloads, they have trailed off as the years have went on. But every once in a while, I will have a new download, like, every week. Which just, it doesn't seem right. So, hey, big shout out to Russia. Big shout out to all the robots out there. I really appreciate you. Subscribe to my Patreon. Give me your credit card numbers. Let me eat them up. Tasty little patrons. Anyway, here's Ghosts and Goblins for the NES.
9/11 found the father in his car, listening to the radio.
Welcome back to another episode of the Main Quest podcast, the number one retro gaming podcast that is constantly cheating death's design. As always, I am your host, Keith, and the spookiness continues here inside the Ghoulcade. It's an entire month dedicated to some of the best horror-themed games available on the NES. Well, at least the ones that I had played as a child. If this is your first episode, what I do here is walk you through my personal experiences with the games that I've owned in the past, which I am now currently replaying again. I then take my time and re-evaluate my current thoughts on those games, and sometimes I might make fun of a game you like, and sometimes I'll make fun of a game that I like. It's all about having fun. And it turns out video games don't define who you are. I think I read that on like CNN or something. It was a headline. But since I am going to be leaving for vacation in like a day, I'm recording this month's monologues early, so I can't really touch on any gaming news or anything like that. I mean, I could, but by the time this episode airs, it would just all be severely dated. Anyway, let's talk about some video games. I started playing the DLC for Cadence of Hyrule. That's the Symphony of the Mask DLC. Business as usual with that game. I think I talked about this game on a previous episode. I like went on for like 25 minutes, but I cut like 15 minutes of it out because it was practically just, it almost turned into an episode of Cadence of Hyrule. That game's phenomenal. I'm really enjoying the new songs, the new dungeons, and the variety of gameplay that the masks bring to the combat. And then I kind of dipped into Dragon Quest XI. Not a lot. Maybe only about 20 minutes. So all I've really done is shuffle through some menus, watch some cutscenes, and ran up like to a rock wall that I think I have to climb. Like I went through like a cave and ended up at like this giant wall. Those first 20 minutes have left a great impression though. When you first start the game, it gives you like this choice of how you'd like to experience the overworld map. You can choose to play it with modern third person behind the back perspective, or like go for a more traditional 16-bit overhead perspective. And even like the battle sprites are different. So I think giving you that option to change that is incredibly thoughtful and a really fucking cool addition. I decided to stick with the modern look, though. I feel like I'd be doing myself a disservice, missing out on just how beautiful this game looks. So I'm sure by the time that this episode airs, I'll probably be further in than 20 minutes. So I'll keep you guys updated on my very first Dragon Quest experience. As I stepped inside the ghoul cage, Satan handed me a bag of quarters and directed me directly to this game that he handpicked himself from his collection. It's a game that sits right beside Battletoads on his shelf. It's Ghosts and Goblins. So as always, start the show off with my personal history with the game. And here's yet another game that I don't really have a connection to, but at the same time, kind of occupies the same spot Castlevania does, since I played both of those games back to back in 2016. I do have better stories of one of the game's many sequels, Super Ghouls and Ghosts. And of course, that story's for another episode. So yeah, I played Ghosts and Goblins for the first time back in 2016. At the time, I could emphatically say that it is one of the hardest games I've ever played. And it stayed that way all the way up until this past August when I played Battletoads. I definitely had my moments then, back then, 2016, of breaking down, screaming at the TV, or sometimes just sitting there with a bitter look on my face. But I was just playing the game for fun back then. I was just, you know, casually playing it. And although it was challenging, I didn't find that it was impossible. Playing it for the podcast, though, I may have been a bit more impatient. And of course, with my main quest glasses on, much more critical. Ghosts and Goblins is a side-scrolling platformer developed and published by Capcom. Makimura? I don't know if I'm saying that right. Makimura. You know, it's weird because I have this podcast that I edit, and Cool Guy's back! Fuck yeah, dude. Can you hear how big his dick is? Dude, his dick is huge. I'm sitting here and I saw it with my curtains closed. That's how big his dick is. Holy shit. Dude, I can hear how big his dick is from down the road. Holy fuck. Anyway, I believe it's pronounced Makimura. And translated, it means Demon World Village, as it was called in Japan. The game was directed by Tokura Fujiwara, with Aoka Mori composing the soundtrack for the arcade version. Mori ended up porting her own music from the arcade to the NES, because the game's sound driver sounds like it was something from Micronix, who was the developer for the cartridge version, whose programmer Kazuo Yagi programmed the game. However, the game's sound designer, Harumi Fujita, insisted that Yoshihiro Sakaguchi programmed the game's sound driver. First unleashed in arcades in 1985, Ghosts and Goblins was ported to the Famicom in Japan on June 13th, 1986, and shipped to North America in November of the same year, while Europeans had to wait 3 years to see the game in 1989. Since then, Ghosts and Goblins has been ported to the Amiga, Atari ST, Commodore 64, Game Boy Color, MSX, the ZX Spectrum, Wii and Wii U Virtual Consoles, Nintendo 3DS, and the NES Mini. Fuck. So, we begin the breakdown, horny as we always do. It looks like Bonk has been dethroned as our number one fuckboy because the game opens up with our main character, Arthur, getting a little S on his D, butt naked, fucking in a cemetery, when Satan swoops down and kidnaps his FWB, who apparently a princess, you know, I've lost track, take a shot, we're saving another princess. I don't even remember how many fucking princesses that we've gone off to rescue. So Arthur literally puts his clothes on and our adventure starts. Now, what I would really like to see is like the political ramifications of Arthur dicking down the princess, because Arthur is a knight, which is kind of a weird characterization for the setting of this game, but you know, in hindsight, looking at it, Dark Souls is basically just an imitation of the setting of Ghosts and Goblins. You know, Arthur's a knight. He's in a horror setting. It's very dark. There's zombies, monsters, all this shit coming after him, all these demons and stuff. And Dark Souls is literally you are a knight. I don't know what the lore of Dark Souls is. I've played Dark Souls 2 and 3 and Bloodborne. I couldn't tell you what the fuck the story is. I don't even think the story really fucking matters. And both games, both franchises are incredibly, incredibly difficult. So I think Ghosts and Goblins has always been Dark Souls. I digress. And so Arthur must be working for whatever royal family the princess is a part of. So I'm wondering, like, does the king know about this? Or is this wartime? Are we in wartime during the events of Ghosts and Goblins? Or is Arthur on the opposing kingdom's army? And like, why the hell are they having a Swedish bike ride in the cemetery? I'm making this sound more interesting than it is. It could all be very much more interesting than it is. It just never does. We're literally just going to go save a princess. If Castlevania hadn't come out after this game, you would have sworn Capcom was trying to piggyback off of the success of that game and then like take Mega Man and then make it creepy, because Arthur controls similar to both Mega Man and Simon Belmont. You can move around the stage in all directions, dodging and eliminating the constant barrage, and I mean constant barrage of enemies. Similar to Simon, Arthur cannot move while he's attacking. And similar to Simon and Mega Man, when Arthur gets airborne, you have to commit to that jump because there's no room to maneuver him once he's left the ground. Luckily, the most platforming you'll have to do is in like level 2, and I think it's level 5 with like some floating platforms. But that doesn't mean that his jump doesn't ruin the other aspects of this game. It's just super aggravating having to calculate a jump while there are enemies constantly coming at you. And I don't know if this is present in the arcade version, but something about Arthur's movement is just like janky.
or like stuttery. There's no real good way to describe it. He just kind of freezes every once in a while. It's just janky. It's just janky. That's the best way to describe it. It just doesn't, his movement's just fucking bad. With that said, Arthur is only allowed to take two hits. You start off with your armor on, your knight armor, and once you get hit, he just gets naked. So I used to work in a pretty sketchy part of the city when I was younger, and I've been robbed a few times, and luckily nothing terrible happened to me outside of the robbery itself. And eventually I just got so detached from the concept of getting robbed itself that eventually I was telling my friends that if I ever got robbed again, that I'm just going to get naked and just make it awkward for both parties, basically. And surprisingly, I haven't been jumped since I said that. So I guess that's just kind of what I imagine is going on with Arthur. You know, he's sick and tired of getting attacked by flying ghost burritos and just decides to get butt naked. But only allowing up to like two hits with almost no way of getting your armor back unless you know exactly where the armor drops, because there's no, unlike a lot of the power-ups, there's not even really power-ups. Unlike the weapons, which we'll get into in a minute, and the bags of money that you collect, which just serve as your points more or less, you have to go out of your way to find the armor. And sometimes you just won't find any armor. And I found maybe, two. I think I found like two of the armor drops. And I didn't use a guide for this because I played through it before. It's pretty self-explanatory. You go from point A to point B. It's just your typical platformer. And that's just really what makes this game so goddamn difficult, is that there's really no room for error. And there's such a constant barrage of enemies that you don't even really want to explore. You're just trying to get to that damn exit as fast as you can. Fortunately, Capcom changed the NES port to include checkpoints. So if you happen to game over, you won't have to start all the way back from the beginning of the game. But further adding to the misery is a timer for each level. A very low and tight timer, ranging from a minute and a half to 3.5 minutes, depending where you are in the game. What makes this a problem is that there are a lot of areas, due to enemy placement, that you'll want to wait around a little bit before you go in for an attack. The earliest example that I have in mind is a section in level 2 where you have to climb up and down a series of ladders in order to get to the other side of the stage. And waiting for you at the top or bottom of each of these platforms are these big boys. They're literally called big men. I'm not even going to sexualize it, because fuck these assholes. These fuckers will roam around the platforms however they want. None of the enemies in this game really have a pattern at all. A majority will just appear on screen, while a lot of the harder enemies spawn at specific locations. Anyway, the big cucks will just roam around the platforms, but mostly will only hover around like right where you either need to climb up or step off a ladder, while the ones above you literally vomit goop or something at you. And the ones that are in the same platform as you will shoot that very same goop at you if you're standing in front of them. So what I'm getting at here in relation to the timer is that because these fucking beefcakes kind of have a tendency to follow Arthur. And so you will be trying for several seconds to coax them away from the ladder that you need to climb. And most of the time, it doesn't work. So you're just risking getting hit anyway, because they do whatever the fuck they want most of the time. And this kind of shit happens a lot. And it eats up the timer as you calculate and try to coordinate your attacks, especially in the last two stages. Arthur has a few weapons he can pick up. None of them matter except for the knife and the shield. You start with the javelin, which is fine. It's just really slow and is just not conducive to this fucking type of gameplay where it's just an onslaught of enemies. There's just way too many enemies to deal with. You may as well just not play the game if you're using the javelin. And then there's the fireball and the axe, which also, you may as well just not be playing the fucking game. They're also very slow, and they both have like this weird arc to them when you throw them. Now the knife, Arthur can throw it very quickly, but he can only throw about like three at a time. I think they do just like a little bit less damage than the javelin, but overall it's a much better choice, especially when having to take down the more spongy, larger enemies and the bosses. Unfortunately, again, Arthur cannot maneuver around when tossing his weapons around, unless you're jumping. But again, your jumping also has to be pretty damn precise. Now I could say, yeah, once you have the knife, keep it. But it's not that easy. Pretty sure weapon and power-up drops are randomized and solely based on score, which, again, your score goes up when you collect bags of money. Probably to keep the princess quiet about, you know, what's been going down in the cemetery. And so the new weapon drops, they will just appear, oftentimes randomly, directly in front of you as you are trying to mow down a mob of enemies. And in the anxiety and confusion of battle, you will just accidentally pick up a new weapon and lose your knife. You might accidentally just pick up, you just might pick up the fucking fireball. Or sometimes a weapon will just spawn directly in your path, making it completely unavoidable. Or let's say you try to jump over the pickup, but you timed your jump incorrectly and you land on it. Yeah. And so you gotta move around the level, eating up the timer, killing enemies, hoping you won't A, run out of time, or B, get killed trying to do so. And then there's the shield, because I said the two weapons that matter are the knife and the shield. And it doesn't matter because it's a good weapon, but because you literally need it to beat the game. And it's weird because Nintendo has always been real weird with religious iconography in their games, usually removing any type of Christian or Catholic representation. And so despite the gravestones in the first level having crosses on them, the cross pickup in the original game was changed to a shield over here in the West, which still bears a cross on it, but whatever. When I first played the game back in 2016, I had no idea what the shield was. It was my first playthrough of the game, and so I just kind of was picking up whatever just to try it out and see what it does. For fuck's sake, the shield only shows up in the final level, level 6. And at that point, I'm picking up whatever the fuck I can get to make this game easier. And no, it makes the game harder. The shield has little to no reach and doesn't even do any damage to some of the enemies. But you literally need it, as it's the only thing that can kill the last boss. So imagine my surprise when I got to the end of the stage with, I don't know what the fuck weapon I had at the time, because I ditched the fucking shield as soon as I could, because that thing fucking sucks. So imagine my surprise that at the end of the level, I get sent all the way back to level 5. Because I didn't have the shield, I didn't get sent back to the start of 6. No, I got sent back to 5. So all I have to say is make sure you grab that shitty fucking shield and hold on to it for fucking dear life. Hope a weapon doesn't spawn on top of a ladder that you need to climb or whatever the fuck. There's a lot of enemies here, maybe a little too many to go over individually. Ghosts and Goblins does the thing where the bosses you encounter early on just become regular enemies by the end of the game. And Ghosts and Goblins isn't coy about it, because by the end of the game, this motherfucker will just throw two or three of these enemies at you at the same time. Meanwhile, regular enemies are still spawning all over the fucking place. At most, I'll talk about the bosses. And the first boss, the unicorn, doesn't look like a unicorn at all. I suppose it has like a single horn on the top of its head. But besides that, I mean, we're kind of reaching here. And then at the end of level 2, you'll have to fight 2 of those motherfuckers at once. At the end of level 3 is a dragon. There's no real strategy for the dragon. Just get rid of his tail or body or whatever you want to call that as fast as you can, because then there's just a lot less chance of him damaging you. Level 4 has you fighting another dragon at the end of it. Level 5 has you fighting Satan. This guy is just a bigger version of the regular Red Devil enemies. I think the Red Devils are now known as like Red Armors or something like that. Am I saying that right? I don't fucking know. Fuck this game. The only difference between those regular enemies and Satan is that they just take fucking forever to kill. And then level 6 literally just throws all of these bosses at you just casually throughout the stage. And again, you know, as you're fighting those guys, just toss in some regular enemies as well. Fuck it. And at the end of level 5, you have to fight not one, but 2 Satans. Makes sense, I guess. There's 3 Satans. Makes even more sense that in the final area is the boss fight with the devil. Pretty sure Satan and the devil are one and the same. And I think lately we've just been having a run of very difficult games, but with a final boss that is just a pushover, and Ghosts and Goblins is very much fits this mold. But here's the kicker. You make your way through all 6 levels, all from the graveyard to the castle with, you know, maps between the stages dictating where you are in your adventure, something Konami copied for Castlevania. Been at this game for a few hours, maybe a few days in my case. You started over many, many times. You fucking even dealt with having the fucking shield so you can kill the final boss. And you finally reach the end, and a message comes up saying, "This room is an illusion and is a trap devised by Satan." First of all, devised is spelled D-E-V-I-S-V-T. Divisit. The room is an illusion and is a trap divisited by Satan. And I thought the devil was the main bad guy. Anyway, the message continues. Go ahead dauntlessly. Make rapid progress. Progress is also spelled incorrectly. It's spelled P-R-O-G-R-E-S. Progress. I guess it's very, very British of Capcom. It's not the real ending. This isn't your first time through this game. You don't get a real ending. To get the true ending of the game, you have to beat it twice. I'm going to tell you right now, back in 2016, I put the fucking controller down and said, no, I beat it. I beat it, Capcom. Fuck you very much. And hoping for the game to still know I beat it once before, I hope to get the true ending on my run for the podcast. And of course, this wasn't the case. And so once again, fuck you very much, Capcom. I beat it twice. Twice. And you know what you get if you do start all the way back at the first level and go through the whole thing again? You end up rescuing the princess. She kisses Arthur, maybe gives him a rough HJ off screen, and a message pops up, and again, this time I'm just going to read this verbatim. Congratulations, the story is happy end, thank you. Being the wise encourager knight that you are, you feel strength welling in your body, return to starting point, challenge again. If strength swelling is a euphemism for his snatch axe, then sure. You know, with all that armor on, Arthur's dick has to be under more pressure than Ivanka when Donald's on top. That's actually a joke. Ivanka would never have sex with Donald Trump. The end of this first playthrough is like, it's like building a big, beautiful sculpture, like a piece of artwork that has tested your patience and represents your trials and tribulations, for only then some stupid ass illiterate child who comes along and breaks it and tells you,
go ahead dauntlessly, make progress.
Go fuck yourself. Fuck this shit. Fuck you, Capcom. There's not much to say about the stages. The level design is pretty straightforward, even more so than Mario Brothers. It's not the stages that make this game difficult. It's the enemies. For the most part, every level is just designed horizontally. Again, you go from A to B. You have a few options in which you can climb up to a higher platform, but in the end, you're still just moving from left to right. Your path makes no difference other than to maybe briefly escape some enemy encounters. Briefly, they're gonna find you no matter what. Level 5 and 6 are designed with verticality in mind as you are making your way up to the top of a tower. So there's just going to be tons of ladders, which is just overall pretty similar to a section that you'll encounter early on in level 2. Well, with the exception of, you know, an increased number of difficult enemies. Graphically, the game doesn't look too bad. Of course, the arcade version is capable of having a higher pixel count, so, you know, we get a little more detail there, but the NES port, it's not bad, especially for 1986. This is, you know, kind of on par with Mega Man. Maybe a little more detailed because we're kind of working with like a little more of a real world aesthetic than sci-fi fantasy. The stages and the settings themselves don't look bad at all. There's an obvious color scheme to each one since the NES can only produce 4 palettes, but the buildings in level 2 are very well designed, and unlike Simon's Quest, actually, like, the buildings just kind of look like they're part of a small town. The caverns in Ghouls and Ghosts look like caverns, and so forth. Arthur himself clearly has some facial details, and they even added his beard. There's clear definition in his armor. You can tell which part of his armor is covering what. The bigger enemies are fine, but a lot of the smaller enemies, I couldn't even really tell what the hell they were. As you progress through the first level and into the woods, flying burritos start coming at you. In the second stage, it looks like Moogles start dropping from the windows in the buildings and attack Arthur. There's these rock formations or something that they kind of look like ear candles that shoot fireballs. And that last boss, man. The last boss just kind of looks like Seth Rogen with a face tattoo on his belly. The soundtrack for this game is okay. As the series continues, the song that's played on the first stage stays in rotation and gets better as the technology allows. What this game honestly fails at is the sound design. Attacking and hitting enemies just doesn't have that oomph or like real satisfying blow to it. I don't know. Remember Splatterhouse? Remember how fucking great it felt to hit a zombie with a chunk of wood or blast a dog in the face with a shotgun? Here in Ghosts and Goblins, some of the noises the enemies make, specifically the flying burritos, are just fucking annoying. Everything just sounds real weak and shrill. It's like a shitty fucking alarm clock. Speaking of alarm clocks, when you start running low on time, a really loud and very annoying alarm starts going off, which completely cancels out the stage music, and it starts clipping the already ear-piercing sound effects. The sound design in this game is completely fucking broken. Before I cap the episode off and get into my final thoughts on this game, We've got a few segments to go through, and I'm going to start with some listener commentary. If you'd like to contribute to an upcoming game that I will be reviewing on the show, go check us out at The Main Quest on Instagram. The username is The Main Quest. While you're there, give us a follow. I post the schedule regularly, and sometime before I record, I'll throw up a post on what game I'm currently looking for and how you can go ahead about submitting your review. Make sure you actually read the post. You don't know how many fucking confused DMs I get, man. I'm really starting to lose faith that people just don't actually, you know, read a thing that they're looking at. They just see thing and then are like,
I don't know what this thing is. Help me to decide what the thing is and how to do the thing.
That's what I think you fucking people sound like. That's my impression of you. You can also email me your comments, such as how much you hated how I just made fun of how you sound, to mainquestpod@gmail.com. But again, all of this stuff is dictated in those nice little Instagram posts that I just mentioned. I don't know. I think my directions are pretty damn clear. So damn clear that I have a few reviews here, hot and ready, straight from my phone and directly from Instagram. The first review comes from Jacob, which says, this game isn't very fun or interesting. It's brutally hard and unfair and has to be beat twice just to see a real ending. Similar to Jacob, Retroheatho, I hope I'm saying that right. Retroheatho says, I've never been able to beat Ghosts and Goblins. It's just brutal. This game is the perfect embodiment of quote-unquote NES hard. Yeah, NES hard sums this up pretty well. Again, mechanically, this game is the love child of Mega Man and Castlevania, but with like the difficulty of Battletoads. But like not even. I don't think I'll ever be capable of finishing Battletoads. And I've now finished Ghosts and Goblins twice. That's twice in 4 years, but twice nonetheless. And not to show my cards just yet, but, you know, I think twice is enough for a lifetime. And so I think if we're looking at the tippy top of difficult games, Battletoads reigns king right now, with Ghosts and Goblins like just right there. Like it's touching the gooch of Battletoads. It's right there. And our last commenter, Andrew, says, why would you want to play this game? I play games. That's a very good question. Why would you want to play this game? I play games to relax. Sure, the game is a classic, but it doesn't mean I have to like it. Man, I didn't attack you, Andrew. Why are you coming at me with that fucking heat, man? But you know what? You've taken the words right out of my mouth. Like, how simply put and eloquently stated. Just because it's a classic doesn't mean you have to enjoy it. I think I'm stealing that. That should be the fucking tagline for this entire show. Thank you. And thank you to the rest of my listeners as well. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you guys for writing in, taking your time to send me those. So, thank you. Thank you, Jacob. Thank you, Andrew and Retroheatho, I follow on YouTube. And maybe you should subscribe to his channel as well. He's doing some retro reviews himself, and he has a video where he compiled like 30 minutes of RPG overworld music, which saved me from tearing my hair out at work. So again, thank you guys so much for writing in and listening to the show. It honestly means a lot. I don't say that as often as I should, but it's really fucking cool, and I'm always taken aback by all the comments and criticism that I get from a lot of my listeners. So thank you guys. And so now let's get to my favorite part of the show, cheats.
So sorry.
You made me sick, you fucking slut. I'm always a dirty whore.
I didn't see
you. No, I didn't fucking whore.
I gonna win?
There's only one cheat for this game, and it's a level select cheat. You'd be able to select whatever level you'd like to start off at. And I guess this would really come in handy if you had to turn the console off and wanted to start where you left off. Luckily, I had the ability to make a save state at the start of every level, so I didn't have to start all over on my next session if I ended my previous one. So at the title screen, you have to perform a series of steps before the demo or the attract screen starts playing. Inputting this cheat is just as complicated as the fucking game, but here it goes. This is what it is. So you hold right while you press B 3 times. Press up and then release it before pressing B 3 times. Press left and then release it before pressing B 3 times. Press down and then release it before pressing B 3 times. Then press start and a number and letter will appear in the middle of the screen. You then use the A and B buttons to change the numbers to the stage on which you would like to begin to play. Press start again to begin the game. I don't even really know if I would call this a cheat, because even if you selected, like let's say you selected level 6 and wanted to see the end of the game, you would still have to try and fucking get through level 6. Alright, let's wrap this up, because I need to go to bed. If you haven't listened to the Battletoads episode, well, one, you should. It's long, but it's goofy as fuck, and I don't know what else you would want out of a podcast in 2020. Unless I suddenly start doing true crime, but who the fuck wants to hear that when you can just go outside and see the crimes of society happening every day? But what I said on Battletoads completely applies to Ghosts and Goblins. If the only thing you heard about Ghosts and Goblins before this show was that it was one of the hardest games ever made, it is absolutely true. If you go into this game being cavalier and thinking, nah, it can't be that bad, it absolutely is. But I feel differently about Ghosts and Goblins than I do Battletoads. This game somehow seems a little more fair than Battletoads, and I know as I'm saying that seems like a real fucking stretch. But hear me out, like, Battletoads is a game that was made at the end of the NES era. The console generation was over, the Super Famicom was already out, and the Super Nintendo was only a few short months away. Actually, it may have just came out. Either way, Battletoads came out a long time after game designers knew how to make a good game. What Rare developed that game into, and for the reason that they did it, is fucking filthy. Ghosts and Goblins was originally developed for arcades. Say what you want about the conniving ways companies would shake children for loose pocket change. In my opinion, that's a little more forgivable than what Rare did for a straight-to-home console release. Battletoads did eventually hit arcades, but that was 3 years later in 1994. And I'm sure kids probably saw that arcade cabinet and just fucking was like, ah, fuck that. I'm not playing that. Anyway, my point is, the home port of Ghosts and Goblins came off the heels of Super Mario Brothers. Two very different games, only a year apart from each other. I'm sure if you were a kid in 1986, you were probably getting this game along with Mario Brothers. And all things considered, Ghosts and Goblins is a fairly competent NES port, even providing some relief with the addition of checkpoints. And, you know, that doesn't seem like much, but when you consider how hard it was to develop for the NES back then, let alone port a side-scrolling platforming game, it's a miracle this thing even resembles a video game. I don't even know if I'm even summing up all of my thoughts. The game is hard as fuck. It looks pretty damn decent for a very early Famicom title. The music and sounds are just as irritating as the fucking gameplay. Could I recommend Ghosts and Goblins? I am so torn on this. You know what? I'm gonna get controversial. I'm going to do the opposite of what you think I'm going to do. I would give Ghosts and Goblins a light recommend. Don't get me wrong. On a bad day, I could say I wouldn't recommend this game at all. But all right. So hear me out. Hear me out one last time. I keep referencing Battletoads in this episode only because that and Ghosts and Goblins are the highest rated in terms of difficulty. But I could not recommend Battletoads, and I still would not recommend it, because that game, again, is just, it's backed by proficient game designers intentionally making a shitty game. And so Battletoads then, by default, is flawed and intentionally made impossible. Ghosts and Goblins isn't impossible. And so what I'm getting at is that if you ever wanted to take a stab at playing one of the hardest NES games ever made, yes, skip Battletoads. I will stick with not recommending that to my fucking grave. But I think you could play Ghosts and Goblins instead. Because, like, in a weird way, I find the difficulty of both of those games completely fascinating. And personally, I find Ghosts and Goblins is easier to swallow than Battletoads, as Battletoads is just not fun at all. I had little to no enjoyment playing that game. So if you want something that is truly, absolutely difficult, but like in a strange, stupid way is a little bit fair, I said a little bit fair, you'll relish in the agony of Ghosts and Goblins. Otherwise, like, yeah, maybe just watch a Let's Play. But yeah, hot take. Light recommend. I think maybe you should maybe spend at least 10 minutes with one of the hardest games of all time. And so we are left with one game to play in the Ghoulcade. We're going cross country, 9-11-ing every building we see, eating every human we can find, crushing every tank we see under our feet, drink toilet water, eat chicken, and run away naked in the streets. Shit. That's actually pretty much the entire game. Maybe I won't even need to do the episode now. It's Rampage. So until then, yes, there is someone that watches you from the corner of your room while you're asleep. Ha 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 ha!